We're going to speak tonight out of the book of Luke, and a very familiar passage of scripture talking about the 10 lepers. And so while if you have your Bibles, why don't you open up with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 11 through 19, and if you're there with me, say amen. All right. The Bible says that now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And the Bible says that he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." And I want to talk to you tonight and ask you a question. Have you received the blessing of healing? But I want to encourage you, don't miss the blessing of being made whole.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Why don't we pray tonight? Lord, we thank you tonight, and you are so beautiful. God, you are, God, described in our word as our Heavenly Father. God, you see and you know. We're always in the presence of you, God. God, we're never alone. God, that affects life so much to know that you told us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, you told us that because there was only one person that you forsook. You forsook Jesus on that cross, your son, for that long couple of hours, God. But you forsook him so that nobody, never ever will, be able to say that you forsook them. That's why you can tell us you'll never leave us nor forsake us, because Jesus, that moment on that cross, died for us so that man will know that he's never alone if he receives the gift of salvation. So God, I thank you for being so close. God, you're close to the brokenhearted. God, you're close to the foreigner. God, you're close to the outcast. God, you're close to the helpless, God. And I thank you for being that. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The first thing the Spirit of God is going to reveal to humanity is that they're lost. That they're a sinner. And until that revelation comes to an individual, to a person, there will be no need for you to seek out a Savior. The second thing the Spirit of God will reveal to you is where to place your faith. He reveals to you God's redemption plan. I was talking with a person today, and he was telling me, "I'm trying to find myself. You know, I'm kind of visiting some churches, going to this thing, going to that thing." And I just quickly said, "Man, I want to give you some advice. I'll help you real quick. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, 'I am the door. No man comes to the Father but through me.' If you're looking for something and you're looking for somewhere, it all starts and stops at Jesus Christ. There is no other way to search. Jesus either was who he said he was, or he was a lunatic, wild man that was very confused. Because Christianity is not something that was mixed with something else. It's Jesus is on this side of the road, and everything else is on that side of the road. You have to make a decision, and you see that when the Spirit of God reveals that a person is lost, they search for a Savior, and God shows you where to put your faith, and it's what God did for you. And he reciprocates grace to you. And this is an ongoing cycle for the rest of your life. You know, when I was saved, I definitely wanted to have my sins forgiven. I definitely wanted to escape hell. For many of my years of my life, I stayed in those two places. But you know, God has something for you, and I call it the new man becoming new. Christianity is really about you and I becoming who we really are. You know, our position with Christ, because we're in Christ, God looks at us as perfect. Not that our condition is perfect, but we have a perfect position in Jesus Christ, all by faith given to us. But that's really how God sees us, is in Christ. And the Holy Spirit, by grace, working on us to help bring our condition, which is not perfect, closer towards our position, which is perfect. And that is an ongoing cycle that will continue on until the day we see Jesus. The only limitation in that is not through the Holy Spirit, it's through us. It's through the fallen nature, this fallen world. But that does not mean that the Holy Spirit is limited in taking you and I closer to intimacy, to conformity in Jesus Christ. You know, there has to be a confession. There has to be a conviction, then there has to be a confession. Then there's conformity. And then there's community, communion with God. You know, one theologian said, where justification ends, holiness begins. And if holiness is never started, keyword started, one could conclude that justification has never begun. It's impossible to come to Jesus and not change. You got to go to heaven to find perfect people. You got to go to heaven to find a perfect church. But I have to stand before you to say, when you meet Jesus, there is no way to stop being changed. That's what God does. He changes people. And I'm so thankful that we're all in the process, by grace and faith, to receive the power from God, His redemption plan, to bring you and I to that place. You know, last year, the Lord spoke to my heart, and out of nowhere, I felt in my heart, He said, thank you, God, for being the vine dresser. So I immediately went to John 15, and the Bible says that I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, but every branch in me that bears fruit, He prunes, so that He may bear more fruit. He said that we are the branch. He is the vine. Abide in me and I in you. And that person that goes from fruit to more fruit, he will bear much fruit. I'm so glad today that I'm not caught up in a dead religion. That some kind of works or some kind of, for 6 weeks out in the year, I limit myself to fruity pebbles, not eating fruity pebbles or caffeine or something like that. This relationship with God is so much deeper than giving up something for a couple of days or a couple of weeks. But God wants to take us from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. And I want us to look at the story in the Bible about the 10 lepers. Leprosy was something visible. It involved a decay and a corruption of the body. It served as an example and a symbol of sinfulness. Just as leprosy corrupts the physical body, sin corrupts one spiritually. Because leprosy was so highly contagious, people were thought of as outcasts. People to be avoided. The Bible says that these lepers saw Jesus and cried out, and they sensed Him as one of able to give out mercy. It shows me how approachable Jesus is. Verse 14 says that He saw them and He said, go show yourself to the priest. Because of leprosy, there could be no contact. And the Bible says that as they went, they were healed. But a major shift in the scripture says, the one returned. After He's seen Himself healed, He returned with a loud voice to glorify God. You know, Brother Swigert says that if you want to see a person that has a thriving Christian life, a person that has a thriving Christian life will be a person that lives a life of thanksgiving. What does thriving in Jesus look like? Living a life of thankfulness. This man, this one, fell down on his face, shows a worship posture at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. Think about it. Living your life full of leprosy, nose falling off, skin deteriorating. You live a life of outcast. You live a life of unclean, unclean. People would come around, you had to scream and holler. Living a life of outcast, living like this, no life. And you beg for mercy, and Jesus touches you and heals you. And 10 go to walk off, but one stops and thinks to himself, I want to go back. And I want to give glory to God. And the Bible says that he was a Samaritan. Studies show that maybe out of these 10, not 9 were Jews. One was a Samaritan. And the only reason why this Samaritan maybe was able to hang out with these Jews, their commonality was they had leprosy. The Bible says that he was a Samaritan, a foreigner. But this foreigner, this outcast, had a revelation of what he was and what had happened to him. And it affected his life so much. I asked the question, what about the other 9? Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not any found who returned to give God glory except this foreigner? Makes me think a lot about the 9. The Bible talks about Jesus had masses of people following him. And in the book of John, he looked at the masses of people and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Now, he wasn't talking about cannibalism. But people were following him for many, many different reasons. And the Bible says that many followed him that day no more. And he looked at his disciples and he said, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words to eternal life. When that revelation hits you in your spirit, I come to encourage you tonight. When you get it, you get it. You know, Pastor Lee says this, the cross of Christ wrecks your life. The cross of Christ has wrecked Keith Babin's life, my old life. It has messed me up. The Spirit of God does not come to rehabilitate my old man. The Spirit of God does not come to improve my old man. The Spirit of God, the cross of Christ, comes to crucify my old man and to make me a new man in Christ Jesus. And there's a song that says, oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. I'm so thankful that the change is all of him. I'm so thankful that revelation that can come, that I will stop, that you will stop, and come back and give God glory for what he's done in your life. You know, my father and I don't want to dwell on this, but it's just where I'm at. Very close to my father, and I don't have any regrets. Of course, I would want him here, but I have nothing in me that said I wish I would have, wish I could have. Me and him lived a full life. I can never remember my dad not being there. My dad didn't have a cell phone. He was 83 years old, and he thought because I had one, I was supposed to answer whenever he called. He would call. I'd be at work or something. He'd call. I wouldn't answer. He'd call, and finally, I called him back and said, Daddy, I got your message. Well, you got a cell phone, don't you, son? You can't answer. I said, well, Daddy, I work. I got to. No, but he didn't understand. And I'm going to miss that. And I told my daddy all the time, thank you. So, Daddy, we say the words thank you sometimes very haphazardly, very simplicity, routinely. Somebody open the door for you, give you directions, thank you. But he used to tell my daddy, that's not my thank you. My thank you is for always being a dad, for being in my life, being constant. From the little to the medium to the big, thank you, Daddy, thank you. But as wonderful as I think my dad is, and I really think he's wonderful, I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful that he revealed to me that I was lost. I'm so thankful that he revealed to me his plan for my life, his redemption plan, that there would be grace to meet me, to help me on this sanctification road, to bring me closer to Jesus. And I want to encourage you tonight, FNT, you love God so beautifully. You live for God so beautifully. And my message to you and to us is to keep loving Jesus well. Live a life of thanksgiving. Live a life of no regrets. Live a life that we're very aware of what was done for us. We're redeemed. We're redeemed. We were bought with a price. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's sorrow in life, but the difference in us is we are people of sorrow, but we are people that does it as people with hope. I don't know how the world makes it without Jesus. Because he has been the constant in a world that has no constant. Let us always be a people to be aware of what Jesus has done for us. And be constant to come back to give him thanks. Because to be whole, you got to come back. To be whole, you got to come back. Why don't you bow your heads? We're going to pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your mercy. God, I pray if someone has walked in here with a burden that is very heavy. God, an issue in life, God, that has weighed them down mentally, emotionally, financially. God, even spiritually, God. I pray right now that a special grace would touch them. God, that they would see the beauty of you, God, and that they would just turn around one more time. Turn around one more time to give thanks. Because, God, there's wholeness in you. God, we thank you for the healing of the mind. God, we thank you for the healing of the body. God, we thank you for the healing of ailments, God, that plague us a lot. God, I want to be so sensitive to you right now to say thank you for making me whole. Thank you, God, for making me whole. Thank you, God, for making me whole. God bless you.